The more I read about their partnership, the more I understood just how well-suited they really were to each other. Nearly all the articles showed the same photograph of them, with the chairman in a stylish three-piece suit of heavy wool holding in his hand the ceramic two-bulb socket that had been the company's first product. He looked as if someone had just handed it to him, and he hadn't yet decided what he was going to do with it. His mouth was slightly open, showing his teeth, and he stared at the camera with an almost menacing look, as though he were about to throw the fixture. By contrast, Nobu stood beside him, half a head shorter and at full attention, with his one hand in a fist at his side. He wore a morning coat and pinstriped trousers. His scarred face was completely without expression, and his eyes looked sleepy. The chairman, perhaps because of his prematurely gray hair and the difference in their sizes, might almost have been Nobu's father, though he was only 2 years older. The article said that while the chairman was responsible for the company's growth and direction, Nobu was responsible for managing it. He was the less glamorous man with the less glamorous job, but apparently he did it so well that the chairman often said publicly that the company would never have survived several crises without Nobu's talents. It was Nobu who'd brought in a group of investors and saved the company from ruin in the early 1920s. "I owe Nobu a debt I can never repay," the chairman was quoted more than once as saying. Several weeks passed, and then one day I received a note to come to Mameha's apartment the following afternoon. By this time, I'd grown accustomed to the priceless kimono ensembles that Mameha's maid usually laid out for me, but when I arrived and began changing into an autumn weight silk of scarlet and yellow, which showed leaves scattered in a field of golden grasses, I was taken aback to find a tear in the back of the gown, large enough to put two fingers through. Mameha hadn't yet returned, but I took the robe in my arms and went to speak with her maid.
"Tatsumi-san," I said, "the most upsetting thing, this kimono is ruined."
"It isn't ruined, miss. It needs to be repaired, is all. Mistress borrowed it this morning from an okia down the street."
"She must not have known," I said, "and with my reputation for ruining kimono, she'll probably think—"
"Oh, she knows it's torn," Tatsumi interrupted. "In fact, the underrobe is torn as well, in just the same place."
I'd already put on the cream-colored underrobe, and when I reached back and felt in the area of my thigh, I saw that Tatsumi was right.
"Last year, an apprentice geisha caught it by accident on a nail," Tatsumi told me, "but mistress was very clear that she wanted you to put it on."
This made very little sense to me, but I did as Tatsumi said. When at last Mameha rushed in, I went to ask her about it while she touched up her makeup.